The Torah in Chayei Sarah describes the first meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak. And at that first meeting, the Torah says the following. This is at the end of Chayei Sarah, Perek Chav Dal, Pasuk Samach Beis, V'Yitzchak Bo Mibo Be'er Lachai Ro'i. So he's coming from some mysterious place. I mean, the Mefarshim have a lot to discuss where he was coming from. V'Hu Yoshev Be'eretz HaNegev. A lot of the Mefarshim emphasize that Be'er Lachai Ro'i is connected to the Akedah. Because after all, that was the last parsha that we had at the end of Parshas Vayera. And Yitzchak is coming, so to speak, out of the Akedah, maybe in a state of dveikus with the Shechina, maybe in a state of tefillah, maybe he's hurting from the Akedah and he's trying to get back. But something is very, shall we say, spiritual in Yitzchak, coming out of this very mysterious place called Be'er L'chai Ro'i. You know, whenever you see the word Be'er in the Torah, you know that there's something spiritual. Be'er always represents Mayim and represents places where things happen. And then the very next pasuk describes Mincha. Vayetze Yitzchak Lasuach Basad Lifnos Aret. So Yitzchak is davening Mincha. He's actually establishing the tefillah of Mincha. And then in the next pasuk, Vatisa Rivka Seineha. There's an interesting encounter between Yitzchak and Rivka. It's not like you would think that Eliezer would bring Rivka to the house of Avram and say, this is the girl, the shidduch that I brought for you, for your son Yitzchak. No. That whole thing was completely circumvented because it was a direct meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak. Yitzchak is out there in the Sodeh, in some sort of state of spiritual contemplation, meditation, if you will, and she sees him. What does it mean, Vatisa Rivka Seineha? So Rashi says, and you'll see this, tell me what number it is here on your page. Vatisa Rivka Seineha, here it is, number 8. Vatera es Yitzchak, says Rashi, Ra'o so hadur v'soha. She saw him hadur. Hadur is in a state of majesty, of radiating. You know, he radiated. Obviously, there was something special about him. And v'toha, toha means she's amazed. She's
astounded.
Astounded, yes. She's astonished. Mipanov, from his face, his countenance. That's Vateres Yitzchak. And then Vatipo Me'al HaGomel. Which again, there's various interpretations in the commentaries, whether she fell off the Gomel, whether she inclined in one side. But obviously there's something going on over here. So there's a very famous comment here of the Netziv. And the Netziv wants to connect this first, the first glance, the first moment that Rivka lays eyes on Yitzchak with the next pasuk, which says that after she, Rivka, turns to Eliezer and says, "Mi ha'ish halaz, ha'holech b'sada l'krasenu," and Eliezer reveals now to Rivka that this is Adoni, this is my master, this is the man that you can marry. Then it says, Vatika fatzaif batiskas. She takes a veil and she covers herself. So I want to read to you a few things here. First of all, the Netziv is very famous. Let me give you a little background to this Netziv. We have three avos, and we have four imahos. And perhaps it would be chutzpahdik on our part to try to classify the relationships between each one of the avos and his wife. Now, to ask the question, what was the nature of the relationship between Avram and Sarah? Between Rivka and Yitzchak? Between Yaakov and Leah, Yaakov and Rachel? Now, who would have the audacity to answer such a question about our avos, our imams? But the Netziv sees in the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak something that's absolutely unique. He says the following. And this you'll see on your page, it's number 13. Batikach avtzeif vatiskos. I'm going to read it in the Netziv himself. Mirov pachad ubusha. Her relationship with her future husband, Yitzchak, is one of pachad and busha. That's what she feels in the presence of Yitzchak. Kamo, as if to say, Shemivina she'ena ru'uya lios lo le'isha. Says that it's as if she realized that who am I to be married to this holy man who's so awe-inspiring. Says that it's who may azvahala from that very first glance when she laid eyes on him, Vatisa Rivka Seina Materis Yitzchak, Nikba Beliba Pachad Mimenu. The Pachad of that relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak was established for all time. Now, Rabosai, if you can anticipate without cover the Netziv here, you know, just like she covered her, to cover the Netziv and tell me what would you say is that can we see down the line based on this introduction of the Netziv in terms of the unique relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak? Can you guess where he's taking us?
That will mention the affair of their husbands?
No. Again, this is only true for Rivka and Yitzchak. Right? In the next line he says, V'lo haisa im Yitzchak, and she, Rivka, was not in a relationship with Yitzchak, k'mo Sara im Avram, or Rachel im Yaakov. So you can't say that he's using this as a paradigm for all marriage relationships, because then you can have the problem. What about the other avos and the other imos? But what I'm asking you is, if you remember this history that the Torah testifies, the stories that we're going to read mostly in Parshas Toldos next week about the interaction between Rivka and Yitzchak, why do you think this Netziv is already answering questions? Well, what's the central theme of Parshas Toldos? I'm just trying to sort of, I want to extract this from you like a dentist, you know, because I think you'll appreciate the Netziv a lot more if you play into me, you know, give me the right answers. What's the central?
Esav
and Yaakov. And specifically, what aspect of Esav and Yaakov?
The
brachos. And who takes the brachos?
Yaakov.
Now, how does Yaakov steal the brachos?
He buys.
No, but
with the help of Rivka,
where was Yitzchak in this whole scenario? Yitzchak had intended to give the brachos to whom? To Esav. Why didn't Rivka agree with that plan?
Because she knew that the truth.
Not
that really
mattered.
Esav, yeah.
That Yaakov was the true tzaddik, and Esav was really Ish tzayin. He was a fake.
Yeah.
He pulled the wool. Esav pulled the wool over his father's eyes. And Rivka knew this. So what question should you ask? I mean, could you imagine a relationship between a husband and wife? They have two children. And the question is, who's the preferred child as far as Brock is concerned? Who's the good guy and who's not? What would you expect in such a marriage relationship? They would
speak about it.
They would speak about it. Wouldn't Rivka share her feelings, her insights with her husband Yitzchak? Wouldn't she? Maybe she would quote Nevuah. Maybe she would prove from certain actions. I mean, Rivka knows the truth. Says the Netziv. In the other cases, the relationship of Sarah with Avram, Rachel with Yaakov, Asher biyoslem ezok peidaleim oshino idea, we find many cases in which they had differences of opinion, or they were mocked, they were sensitive about something, right? Rachel says, oh, give me children, and then Yaakov turns back to her and he gets upset and he says, in the case of Sarah, she wants to send Yishmael out, and Avram's not happy about it. But we find that there were issues, says the Netziv. But lo boshu l'daber reses l'fneim. They weren't inhibited or embarrassed one in front of the other to speak out reses. Reses means the boiling emotions, you know, those hot emotions from within. Mashenkin Rivka. We don't find that Rivka expresses her differences of opinion with Yitzchak. V'chol zeh hakdama, this is all an introduction, la'sipur sheyavo b'parshas toldos, shehayu Yitzchak v'Rivka mechulakim b'deis, machlokes rishonim, about whether or not the bracha should be given to Esav or to Yaakov. Umikomakom, and nevertheless, despite this difference of opinion, lo matzah Rivka leiv lahamidus Yitzchak al da'ata. Rivka did not find it within her heart to appraise Yitzchak, and in effect to educate Yitzchak about the nature of Yaakov and Esav according to her opinion. Bidvarim nochachim, and prove it to him. Ki hi yodas ha'emes ki Esav rak tzayid b'fiv. She was the one who knew the truth about Esav. You know, Esav in Chazal is compared to a Chazir. The Chazir has split hooves, which is one of the two Simoni Kashas, Mafresis Parasa. So the Chazir wants to prove that he's a kosher animal. He picks up his leg and he shows his split hooves. But inside, he's not a Mala Geri, doesn't reach his cuts. He's a treif animal. And he shows on the outside, oh, I'm a real tzaddik, I'm a real kosher animal. You know, that thing more used as the symbolism of Esav. You know, Esav comes to his father and he says, oh, should we mafresh from salt? You know, and he does a job. He pulls the wool over Yitzchak's eyes. V'chein b'shas ha-brachos. And when it comes to the moment of the brachos, it's Rivka who's putting up this whole deceit here, setting it up. And this was all the way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Masavev Sivuvim. He organized through his divine providence a sequence of events, a chain that would lead to Yaakov taking the brachas b'mirma, and that's the way it had to be. Okay, that's not our topic for now. He says that's going to be the topic for Parshas Toldos, Ayin Shom. Tama Dover. V'ilu ha'isa Rivka im Isha. Isha means her husband. K'mo Sarah v'rachel am ansheyem lo hayam agia b'zeh ofen. Had the relationship between Rivka and her husband Yisuf been analogous to the case of Rachel and her husband, and Sarah and her husband, lo hayam agia b'zeh ofen, it wouldn't have had to have developed and evolved as a deceitful stealing of the brachos, which Hakol v'ashkocha pratis. And all this, says the Netziv, is established at the very moment that Rivka encounters Yitzchak for the first time. And she sees him in the state of Hidur. So if you take a look...
Question.
Yeah?
I mean, isn't he saying like contradictory things? Like, if there's so much pacha that Rivka felt, then she wouldn't have gone by his back again.
She wouldn't have?
Like, gone behind his back.
Ah, okay. That's an interesting question, you know. But somehow, again, we're going to get to the Netziv in the next week's Pasha. Once the brachas were given to Yaakov, and Yitzchak becomes aware of the fact that it's Yaakov who took the brachos, so Yitzchak declares, if you recall, V'gam Baruch Yiyeh. Do you remember that pasuk? But in any event, I don't want to get off on a side tangent, but the fact that Yitzchak confirms the brachos means that now he realized that this was all b'hashgach, that it had to go to Yaakov. He only became aware of that post facto, after he gave the brachos. Again, Rivka was relying a lot on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's intervention here, and you can ask a different question. How did Rivka know that Hashem would come in and save the day to guarantee that this whole transfer of the bracha from Esav to Yaakov would go smoothly? And that's a different issue. Now, if you take a look at the word pachad in the context of Yitzchak, you'll find it over and over again. So, for example, in Parshas Vayetze, this deals with Lavan. Lulei Elokei Avi Elokei Avramu Pachad Yitzchak Hayoli Ki Ata Rekam Shilachtani. Pachad Yitzchak. Right? There's a sefer called Pachad Yitzchak, more than one. Vayishava Yaakov bePachad Aviv Yitzchak. In other words, we don't find that the word pachad is concealed by the Torah. You know, the chesed of Avram, for example, we know that Avram represents the mitzvah of chesed. The pasuk in Micha says, "Titen emes Yaakov chesed li Avram." But in the Torah itself, you don't find that the Torah describes Avram explicitly as the ish ha-chesed. Of course, all the stories of Avram's life, what he's willing to do for Lot, what he's willing to do for Sdom, you know, everything is chesed. What his hachnasas archim is chesed. He had a tremendous desire for chesed. But in the case of Yitzchak, the Torah didn't conceal Yitzchak's midah. Yitzchak's midah is pachad. And therefore it doesn't surprise us that when the Netziv describes that initial meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak, and how she covers herself, he says, "Mirov pachad ubusha." The pachad of the Netziv is really indicative of what Yitzchak is. Yitzchak is pachad. Yitzchak is yira. Now we're going to soon see that yira relates to din, which is the opposite of chesed. You know, din means justice. God rules the earth with justice. The Shamayim only knows justice. Down on earth, we have something called chesed. Chesed means you have compassion, you bend the law. That's Avram Avinu. But Yitzchak is straight din. It's pachad. And the Radak on that pasuk of Vayishava Yaakov bepachad avi Yitzchak points out that the pachad of Yitzchak is somehow related to the Akedah. Shemipachto lakel masar atzmo l'shchita. You know, the Akedah, which Chazal see as if Yitzchak was really shechted on the Mizbeach. We talk about the Efer shel Yitzchak on the Mizbeach. It means din, pure justice. There was no Rachmanis over here. And Yitzchak feels the awe and the fear of Almighty God, and he's willing to give himself on the Akedah.
What
do you mean
Yitzchak's meal
was good?
He was just a scary guy.
Right. And he represented Yerushalayim. In other words, that we have to give ourselves to Hashem without thinking according to din. Avram, it's hard to find din in Avram.
But he also
you find more chesed in Avram. What?
He still thought you have to give yourself to Hashem 100% completely, right? What was the difference in their outlook, exactly?
Again, I think Yitzchak is withdrawn. You know, Yitzchak is in the level of always being inside the Ohel, whereas Avram is out there, you know, giving and sharing and reaching out. So Avram represents the epitome of chesed. On the other hand, Yitzchak represents kedusha, sanctity, which is always in the inner sanctum of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in those inner chambers, you know, it's far away from human awe. You know, we don't want. All right. So what you're asking is, granted that Yitzchak represents Yira and Pachad. I mean, that the Torah says explicitly. What's the relationship between Pachad and Din? Okay, that's what we'll try to get to. So again, given the fact that Yitzchak is Din, then we find we find again that in the case of the mechira of the stealing of the brachos, Yitzchak again is vayechad Yitzchak charada gedol. You know, charada again is a word that indicates pachad again, related. And then we see in the first encounter between Rivka and Yitzchak that we just saw pachad. So this concept of pachad repeats itself over and over again. If you take a look at the psukim regarding Rivka's first encounter with Yitzchak, there's a very interesting comment in the Tosus, which is called the Balia Tosus on the Torah, and you'll see this in number 9 on your page. Rivka sees Yitzchak, and then she turns to Eved Avram and she says, "Mi ha'ish halazeh." So the Tosus says, "Tema, ma tam shela mi zeh ha'ish." Yoser Misharin Anoshim. I mean, on this whole trek, coming back from Aram Narayim to see Yitzchak, did Rivka not encounter any other people? Did she turn to Eliezer and ask about each one of them? Who is he? It doesn't seem logical that every time a man showed up somewhere, she would ask, who is he? The Yesh Lomar, she Yesh Bemedrash, she Rasa, she Haya Holech, Rosha Lamata, Virago Vamala, Ki Chain Derech Osam Haboyim Migan Eden. This is wild, my friends. Tosis refers to a Medrash. I did not find the Medrash. And according to this Medrash, it was apparent to Rivka when she saw Yitzchak that he was coming from Gan Eden. Now, who goes to Gan Eden? Live people or dead people? Dead people. So I think what this Medrash is implying about Yitzchak is that he's coming, he's the living dead. Wasn't there a group called the Living Dead or something? No?
Grateful Dead.
Grateful, whatever it is. So Yitzchak is coming from Gan Eden, and she can tell the way he's standing that he's combining Shemayim and Aretz. You know,
you're standing on a handstand?
A handstand. The handstand connects Shemayim and Aretz. So it's those who come from the Aretz, all of us, we're born from the Aretz, right? As the Torah testifies in the beginning of Bereishis. So our feet are on the Aretz. You know, we're like the animal kingdom, you know, that all of physicality is, we start from the Aretz and we go up, right? But in the case of someone who's coming back from Gan Eden, you know, we're going to see them flying through the sky into this earth from a different realm of being with their head first. Because their feet are in Gan Eden, in this world of spirituality and divinity, and they're coming down head first. So what Rivka really saw in front of her was someone who belonged to a different world. And if you take a look here, Rav Albaum, in his Shir on Shabbos, quotes a Bartanur al HaTorah. I've never seen the Bartanur al HaTorah. And that you'll see in number 10 on your page. The Bartanur al HaTorah takes this Tosfos that we just saw and puts it into Rashi. Remember, Rashi says, Vateiris Yitzchak Ra, so Hadur. What does Hadur mean? He was radiating. He was majestic. Mashakosav Hadur, says the Bartanura, Perusha Ma'ukal Viakum. His body was in a state of being that would not be normal. And he quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya to prove that the word Hadur means, in a sense, distorted. Klamar ki Yahya Yitzchak ba mi Gan Eden. This is the Bartanura, my friends. You know, we know the Bartanura from his Pirush on the Mishnayos, which was a classic. Until recently now, it's sort of been replaced. But there are still people who learn the Bartanura. Here's his Pirush on the Torah, and I think he's referring to this Tosfos and this Medrash. Ki Yahya Yitzchak ba mi Gan Eden. So when Rivka sees Yitzchak, she's scared out of her wits. And why? Because when she's sitting in front of her is someone that's coming from a different world. Shaholach Sham, why was Yitzchak hanging around Gan Eden? You know, it's not something that you and I do on a daily basis. L'hisrapos me'achabura she'oslo av b'shas hakedem. So the Bartanura quotes the famous statements in Chazal that indicate that the Hakedem really did happen, or at least partial. And in a sense, Yitzchak was sapped of a certain vitality of life, and he had to go to Gan Eden in order to regain that life. And therefore, when she sees him, and the Bartanura says she sees him upside down, you know, a headstand, as you say, Yaakov, because whenever you conjure up the dead, this is a parsha in Shmuel. Do you remember Shmuel?
Yeah,
is brought back from through Ovi Doni.
He comes out in a weird way.
A weird way. He's apparently also, since he's coming from Gan Eden, you know, he's appearing in this world from the world of the dead. He appears in this world upside down. V'zeu hakavanah v'mashakos Rashi Hadur. So the Hidur, the majesty, the radiance of Yitzchak really means that Yitzchak is coming from the hereafter, from the world beyond this world.
So you mean she was just coming back now?
Again, he's coming back from Be'er L'chai Ro'i. So maybe this concept of Be'er L'chai Ro'i that the Torah is describing, according to this school of thinking, and I'm not saying it's the only way of going, is that he was really coming back from the hereafter, from the world of Kulon Tov, you know, the eternal repose.
What did that contradict kind of what Avram said when he said to Eliezer that we're both going to come back? And they said that was a kenuah.
Not sure.
When Abraham meets Eliezer and Ishmael, I think, right? Was Eliezer and Ishmael went with him to the Akedah.
Right.
And then he says, me and Sarah are going to come back.
Ah, the maybe so he was foretelling.
Right?
Yeah. Right. But the only question is, Yaakov, there's no doubt that Yitzchak came back. Nobody's denying that. Yitzchak was married to Rivka, and Yitzchak and Rivka had two children. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. We're not denying. But what we're saying is that Yitzchak is a personality, if you could imagine such a thing, that lives in two worlds. You know, he lived in one world until the Akedah. At the time of the Akedah, he entered into a different world. Sometime after the Akedah, he came back to this world. But even when he came back to this world, it was apparent, at least to Rivka, I don't know if you and I would have seen it, that he was coming, he was exiting a purely spiritual world and entering back, in quotation marks, into this physical world. And I would assume if you and I saw such a thing, we would be freaked out. You know what I'm saying? Like for example, the Tanakh describes Eliyahu going up to Shamayim, but he never really died. So if you and I would see Eliyahu today, it would probably, if we were sensitive to the Kedusha of Eliyahu, where he's coming from, you know, and we would probably be scared out of our pants. Now, obviously Rivka didn't wear pants, she wore a skirt, but she was really scared. I mean, she saw this guy, it was like an apparition, you know, it was like, you know, seeing Shmuel coming out from the dead, you know, and she... So the pachad was her first reaction, and it's fascinating that Yitzchak represents pachad, you know, he's defined by pachad, and that was the emotional response of Rivka on the first meeting.
I mean, Pashup Shad Rashi, though, is just that she asked because he was chadar, right?
Yeah, he was beautiful, he was radiating, he was glowing. You know, sometimes you see a person and you can see almost the shechina on his face.
I'm saying, like, that's enough for her to ask. You don't have to...
Yeah. Yehuda, but please understand me. Shivim panim l'Torah. What I mean to say is that what we're studying here is not the level of pshuto shel mikra. In pshuto shel mikra, you would have to ask the question, why is it that Eliezer brings Rivka, and the Torah describes it, to a place where she encounters Yitzchak? Why didn't she come into Avram's house first? It would have been the normal thing, you know, when a shliach is sent on a shlichus, he comes back from Shaleach to attest to the fact and declare that he fulfilled his shlichus. Why was that left out here? Instead, so is this just chance? And secondly, you're going to have to ask the question, Al Pi Pshuto Shel Mikra, where is Yitzchak coming from? You know, it is a little bit spooky in that they meet. And Vayetze Yitzchak L'suach Basadeh, you know, he's meditating out in the fields. Then you're going to have to ask yourself the question, Vatipo Me'al HaGomol, you know, why such a... And then finally, after asking the question, Mi Ha'ish HaLazeh, which again you have to ask why, and your answer is, well, he was radiated, right, the way Rashi says it. You're going to have to ask yourself, what's Vatika Chatzaif Vatiskas? And the one word that seems to connect all of this on a level below pshat, so we're not suggesting that this is pshuto shel mikra, is pachad. Somehow, what she felt when she saw Yitzchak was amazing pachad, to the extent in which, according to the tzip, she was asking herself, how could I be married to this man? I'm not worthy of it. I belong in this world. He's in another world. To the extent in which this original encounter that's a powerful experience on Rivka's part of pachad, that pachad is going to be the stamp that forever defines the relationship between Rivka and her husband Yitzchak. It's not a normal marriage relationship. And who would have the chutzpah to say this? You know, today if you said such a thing, they would probably put you in cherem. But the Sidney Valoshin says it, that this marriage relationship was unique. You know, I'm thinking out loud. The Mashkiach here, Rav Bramberg, Shlita, spoke about the relationship between a husband and wife. You know, we had two chasanim v'shabbos. And he was talking about how a woman has to be an ezer kenegdo, entering into the husband's family and creating a certain ambiance and so forth and so on. But the impression you get is that, you know, the marriage harmony should be this beautiful... You know, I call it almost a bowl of cherries kind of thing. It's ideal, idyllic, you know, conception of what marriage is all about. But yet, and in that, and within the perspective of the idyllic relationship, Ezer Kenegdo means that if Sarah thinks that Avram is overstepping his bounds, or vice versa, there's going to be a confrontation. There's going to be a discussion. There's communication, right? That's the key to success in marriage. And the same is true for Yaakov and Leah. You know, they can discuss their issues, and Yaakov's going to say what he has to say, and Rachel what she has to say. But not so in the case of Rivka and Yitzchak. According to the Netziv, that is a paradigm of an entirely different type of relationship. Nothing that you've heard about marriage and all the shmuzim and all the, you know, the kala classes, and you know they prepare you for marriage. I don't know if you gentlemen have gone to such classes, maybe not yet, but you'll always hear about marriage. You know, it's a wonderful, it's glorious, and there's communication, communication, communication. That's not how the Netziv portrays the relationship between Rivka and Yitzchak. By the way, the tznius of Rivka becomes, how shall I say, fixed in stone for all eternity. Take a look at the Radak. It's the next to the last, on the right side, let's say a source on your page. The Radak says, Vatika fatza'if fatiskas, besipra azel limda tara derchertz tzniut, sharoi li'isha lizbayesh me'arusa, v'shalo tisroa elov ad shetinos elov. You're familiar with the minhag that I think the Radak has in mind? What minhag do you think the Radak has in mind? You don't see your kal for a week. I thought you don't see your kal for the week to separate and then come back with a lot of excitement. He's talking about the meat of tzniyus. And this is really incumbent upon the kala, not so much the chaslan as much as the kala, that the kala should be misbayesh from her arusa. And therefore she doesn't show up. And take a look at Tosfos again. The Tosfos Bali, the Bali Tosfos on the Torah had said, "If atiskas lefisha kisses up panera as a merit, as a reward for this great act of tznius, zachu banel anani akavod." And he says that seif is bigmatcha ve'ela anani akavod. If somebody has a calculator, please figure this out. It doesn't look right to me. That seif is elu anani akavod. I don't see how that works out. But in any event, you begin to see that this initial encounter, the very first meeting between Rivka and Yitzchak, is going to have an impact for generations to come. We are still today, in Chasam Akal, we are still experiencing the minhag that began with Rivka and Yitzchak a good couple of thousand years ago. We're also enjoying the benefits of the Anani HaKavod. Like Sukkah, for example, is connected to Anani HaKavod, and all that was granted to Klal Yisrael, according to this particular version of the Midrash, as a result of Rivka's great act of tzniyus. So I say this original encounter is really powerful. But here, I want to point out the Chasam Sofer, and this is the last source on your page, on the bottom left. The Chasam Sofer points out that if you read the psukim carefully in Parshas Chayisara, you'll notice something very interesting. I'm gonna read you the psukim inside, so you'll know where the Chasam Sofer is coming from. Avram sends Eliezer on his mission, and if you recall, Eliezer turns his eyes towards Shemayim with a prayer, and he asks Hashem to arrange the sequence of events in such a way that Eliezer would be absolutely sure that he's finding the right marriage partner for Yitzchak. And he says, "Hinei anos chi nitzav al ein hamayim." And you remember the whole story. He's telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "Please, I'm going to be sitting here on the ein hamayim, and the girl that I say." She's going to be also chachla of the Chol Yitzchak. Now notice, and I'm going to ask you to, I'm going to read two psukim for you, and tell me which pasuk repeats itself. Okay, which word usually repeats itself? Okay, we're playing a game. You really ready for this? Vayomer, Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, Hakreino Lefanai Hayom Va'asei Chesed Im Adoni Avraham. And listen to this pasuk. It says, V'osa Hochachta Li'avdechol Yitzchak U'ba Eida Ki Asisa Chesed Im Adoni. Which word repeats itself?
Adoni.
Adoni, and what else?
Chesed.
So when Eliezer says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you will bestow chesed with my Adon Avraham Avinu, what's the mid of Avraham? Chesed the Avraham, Pasuk Micha says. So it's amazing that Hashem is being invoked here to bring about chesed. Eliezer is invoking God's name, bring about chesed to Avraham. Good? Now listen to this pasuk. Then the whole story happens. She comes. And then the pasuk says, just 1 second, I'm sorry. Oh, listen to this. After the whole story, Vayikod ha'ish vayishtachu l'Hashem, vayomer, Baruch Hashem Elokei Adoni Avraham, asher lo azav chazdo va'amito me'im Adoni. Do you notice an extra word here? This is the third time the word chesed appears. And he thanks God, shalom azav, he didn't remove from me his chesed. And then the next word, ve'amito. Which means that? Emes. Chesed and emes are two different meters. Why does Eliezer add the word emes here? Says the Chassam Sofer, v'asei chesed im Adoni Avraham ratzalom ki yada shavoya Yitzchak mir sadin. This is your question before Yaakov. How do we combine the pachad of Yitzchak with the concept of din? Avram epitomizes the attribute of chesed, Yitzchak of din. Al kain, therefore his hispalel Hashem Yisbarach, Eliezer turns in prayer to God, shetizdamin lo isha mimidas hachesed. In other words, v'yosa chesed, according to the Chassam Sofer, means bring about a marriage between Yitzchak and a woman who epitomizes chesed. Kidei sheyetzu mibeineyam shneyam, so that the two of them, Yitzchak represents what? Din. Again, according to the Chassam Sofer's formula. And Rivka is going to represent what? Combine chesed and din. What happens when A plus B? Chesed plus din equals? Sheyetze miben shem Yaakov. Now what's Yaakov? Midas emes. And again, go back to the Pasuk in Micha. Titen emes li Yaakov. What is emes? Haklula, it's an integration of midin v'rachamin. Meaning, if Yitzchak would marry a woman who represents din, then there would be no continuity to the world, because the next link in the glorious chain would be din plus din equals din. And the world can't exist on din. The world could exist integrating din and chesed. V'chein hoya be'emes. And this is exactly what happened. Ki Rivko Heveses Yaakov, Aber Yitzchak Sivayav, Yitzchak is Esav. Because Esav represents pure din. But Rivka found in Yaakov the combination of din and chesed, meaning the mid of emes, Mishum Kain Omar, and that explains why Eliezer declared, V'asei chesed im Adoni Avraham, chesed daika. And then he says, Ubo Eida Kasisa chesed amdini, V'achakach Omar, Asher lo azav chazdo v'amito. So this entire story in which Rivka encounters Yitzchak, and now we can begin to understand why Rivka is thrown for a loop when she sees Yitzchak in the light of this Chassam Sofer. Because what does Yitzchak represent? Din is antithetical to what? Chesed. So since Rivka epitomizes Chesed, Yitzchak epitomizes Din, and the Pasuk says that he... Take a look in Pasuk Samach Dal, which is the number 8 on your page. Right, Matisa Rivka Seinu, and then Pasuk Samach Hei, Vatomer Le'ev, and Mi'i Shalzeh, Ha'olech B'sadeh Likra Seinu. What would the word Likra Seinu mean on a deeper level? Again, not Shuta Shal Mikriyu, but on a deeper level. Likra Seinu means opposite, connected. Rivka realizes that Yitzchak, in a sense, is antithetical. You know, he's an entirely different midah. It's the midah of pachad, the midah of yira. He has a gentleman that comes from a different world. He's closed up in that world of Gan Eden. He's midas hadin. Somehow he identifies with Esav because Esav is din. But again, Esav is din to the extreme, which ultimately ends up in Ritzicha. Esav becomes a rotzeach. He's a murderer. That's a pure din. You can murder out of din. Rivka, on the other hand, comes from a different world, a world of chesed. And what she brings to the table is chesed. Yitzchak brings din. And the combination, the integration of those two produce emes, or tiferes, which is the perfect blend of all the midos. And that represents Yaakov Avinu. And from Yaakov we get the Yud Beis Shiftei Kah. We get Klal Yisrael. We get the Kiyum Ma'or. Only because Rivka and Yitzchak, as two, in a sense, opposites, integrate to form one entity to produce emes. And emes is going to be the cornerstone, the foundation stone of all of Klal Yisrael. So the 12 Shvatim will emanate from the meat of Emes.
Two questions. Firstly, if Yitzchak was looking purely at like a din perspective, then I mean Esav was doing wrong things.
Good. So again, on Pshuta Shavik, you have to say that Esav was fooling his father. But if you ask what affinity Yitzchak felt for Esav, what commonality do they have? They had the meat of din.
He wasn't done Esav, but he...
Right, no, again, to ask why he misunderstood Esav, that's a whole different question. That's a question for Parshas Tolmos. But to understand why Yitzchak and Rivka had this machlokas about which son of the two sons they should be aligned with, they should feel close to, the answer is Rivka had a picture of Yaakov as the exact production, so to speak, what had to be produced in the next generation based on her relationship with Yitzchak. Yitzchak, on the other hand, had an affinity to Esav based on his midah. But I think the most important thing that I want you to take out of this discussion is that Rivka plus Yitzchak equals Yaakov. Now, in terms of the formation of Klal Yisrael, we need both the midah of Rivka of Chesed and the midah of Yitzchak, of Din, or Yira, Pachad, in order to produce that ultimate perfection, the integration, which is called what? Emes. And in effect, you can really take this back to Avram. Avram is Chesed, and Eliezer thinks that in order to find a marriage partner that's suitable for Yitzchak, Hashem has to arrange it so that a woman of Chesed comes into the world, and therefore the chesed of this woman will integrate with the yira and the pachad of Yitzchak. In a sense, you could say to bring Yitzchak back down to this world, because he's really upside down in a sense, his feet are up in Shamayim. Shamayim represents din. His head is down here on Aretz. Aretz represents chesed, because olam chesed yibana. So that Eliezer keeps saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're going to do a great chesed by giving me for Yitzchak a woman of chesed. But then when it finally clinches, he points out that it's not just chesed, but this lays the groundwork for emes. And emes is the perfect combination of din and chesed, and now we're ready for that glorious people called Klal Yisrael. Okay, man? All right, we'll stop here.